All right, well, let's all bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for just allowing us to come to a place, your place, a house of prayer, my Lord. You say throughout your word, just nothing but truth. And one of those scriptures and that you say where two or three gathered together in your name, that you're here in the midst, Father. So I truly believe that's from the bottom of my heart, as well as other believers here, Father. We come on one accord, and we bow before you, Lord, and we come to you and ask a couple requests, my Lord. The first one, we pray that Jack don't get kicked out of the home he's at. But on a more serious note, Lord, we want to pray for Josh's family and their loss of their loved ones. Continue to comfort them and strengthen them, Father. We know one day that there will be no more tears, no more death, Father, and I pray that if anybody doesn't have salvation here, including Josh's family, that you grant them repentance, my Lord, that we may see that day, that beautiful day. We also want to pray for Nick's family and his mother, and we want to thank you, my Lord, for the blessing you bestowed upon that family as well as her, my Lord. And we ask that you continue to guide her and direct her path, Father, and that she be healed speedily, Father. We also pray for Greg, my Lord, to continue to guide him and direct his path, Father. Help him to take heed to your word, Father. And we want to pray also for the rest of the family that's in here, Father, and their family, Father. You know all our weaknesses. You know all our fears, our worries. So we come to you today, Father, just to ask you for your help, because we know that our flesh and our personal selves are weak, Father, and that we can't do nothing without you. So right here, right now, we're asking for your help. You know everything that we're struggling with, addiction, just multiple sins, Father, and you say it's not by might, nor by power, but only by your spirit and your help that you can help us do these things. So we please ask you for help, my Lord. Continue to guide us, direct my path tonight as I speak your word. You say the word comes by hearing and hearing, by, faith comes by hearing and hearing by your word, Lord. So that's the thing tonight. We want to rebuild our faith, Father, our relationship with you, my Lord. Just thank you for loving us. And even though we were enemies and we continue to sin, daily or weekly, that you continue to love us and forgive us our sins, Father. You say, if we ask, it shall be given to us, Father. So at this moment, we all come together in a core, Father, and we want to ask for your forgiveness, Father. Forgive us for our sins intentionally as well as unintentionally, my Lord. And just want to give you all the praise, honor, and glory, and want to thank you for just allowing that to happen, to be forgiven, that we have that we may continue to have a relationship with you. We ask you this in your son's name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Sorry, a little long. All right. I'm going to share two stories. Well, one story and other scripture. It was really neat how you shared that Isaiah 43. I want to go over that. That's awesome. That's awesome. So the story I want to talk, the topic of this story is in Mark 5. And it says Jesus heals a demon-possessed man. So I'll start off on verse 1. So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by evil spirit came out from a cemetery to meet him. This man lived among the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, He often snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackles. So I just want to hold on that. So it said, when Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by evil spirit came out from the cemetery to meet him. So he came out from a cemetery. I once heard that the cemetery holds a lot of things, a lot of baggage. And he lived among that damn cemetery. A lot of things they say in the cemetery of the past. This man lived among the burial caves and could no longer be restrained. So a lot of us, when I think about the past or like cemeteries, a lot of us, I feel like as humans, we hold on to things, you know, things that happened in the past. Sometimes we can't forgive others or even forgive ourselves. From things not only from the past, from yesterday or so forth. Things that people said, the things that people have done to us and how we've been treated by our family, our mothers, fathers, husbands, wives. So I feel like with this man, he kind of, that story kind of speaks to us that he was living amongst that. You know, like a lot of us, sometimes we could be holding on to things and living like that in our mind unconsciously until you see that person or you hear this name or something, and then it brings back a ton of sadness and anger and regret that these things ever happened. Just thought I want to share that. So this man lived among the burial cases and could no longer be restrained, even with chains. When it says no longer be restrained, I feel like I heard also as well as like he could no longer be helped. You know, like counsel, people, just different people, they couldn't help him. You know, you hear a lot when somebody's been abused or raped or different scenarios, they go to counselors, they go to different people, and it seems like they really can't get that deepness out of them. You know, it's not like, it's like no help in a way. It's only for a moment, but they leave with that hurt. They never truly let that go, and that pain of being an addict for a long time, alcoholic, falling into pornography, just more, all of the sins that we could think of, they haven't truly let it go, and they really believe at times that this is who I am, but that's a lie. No one was, whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Like I went back and said, like counselors, mothers, fathers, people that are speaking to, nobody could do what only Jesus could do. You know, a lot of us, we ask for help, but I truly believe that it's only him that can break you free from addictions or from bondage, even from yourself. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night, he wandered among the burial caves. How many of us, I feel like, have things in our mind that just day and night, you just it just eats you, especially when it's a reoccurring thing, you know, that a family member or a job, just something that you just can't shake, and you're in that day and night. But that's to me, that's a tactic and like an arrow from the enemy. You know, he says, "I come to seek and destroy." You know, I come to kill, steal, and destroy. You know, your mind, yourself, I want to take your peace from you. You know, I want to, literally, he wants to destroy your whole family. You know, that's his goal. He takes pleasure in that. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night, he wandered among the burial caves in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. I'm sure not only me, but y'all know people or hear stories where people actually do that, you know? They don't know how to release that pain, and they just, they cut themselves, or people commit suicide as well. I'm sure at least everybody knows somebody that have done it. Maybe some of us even here had suicidal thoughts before. They can't let that go, whatever's holding them in bondage in their mind. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." I also heard about this story, how that man says, in a way, he's like, "I've been tortured enough, you know? People have been calling me this and that. My father called me a loser. My boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever the case is, said this about me. Like, I don't need no more. You know what I mean? I'm already at the bottom. You know, I don't need you to come condemning me, you know, and giving me whatever you plan on giving me." He's like, don't torture me no more. I'm already used to that all my life. "In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me. For Jesus had already said to the spirit, 'Come out of the man, you evil spirit.' Then Jesus demanded, 'What is your name?' And he replied, 'My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man.' Then the evil spirits begged him again." I'm going to go back. When he said, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." And I want to go back to say what I just said. A lot of us keep that what someone else said to you, that I'm an alcoholic, your dad's an alcoholic, you'll always be that, you're an addict. They keep that and they believe that. So like Legion, he was like, he's like, "You're many people. You know, you did this, and you hold on to that and truly believe in this is who you are. I'm a loser. I can't do this. I can't read. I can't this, name it. I'm an addict, everything, alcoholic. I'm an abuser, my mind, just go on and on. And that's what he said. He said, I'm many. Then Jesus demanded, my name is Legion because there are many of us inside this man. Then the evil spirits begged him again and again to send them to some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. Send us into the pigs, the spirits begged. Let us enter them. So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and an entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down to the steep hill into the lake and drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs, and the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, no, go home to your family and tell everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told him. That's one of my favorite scriptures as well. Jesus said, go home to your family and tell everything the Lord has done for you. So that's like your testimony, you know, like you shared, Toby, and many of us here have Alejandro testimony, Pam. He tells us to go home, you know, and tell the people that are close by to you. Tell them what Jesus has done. That's how you build it. What is the scripture, Pam, about you overcome by the blood, by the word of your testimony and the blood of the Lamb? So how you overcome. What is that?
Revelation 12.
So testimonies are very powerful. Very powerful. Something else I just want to throw and share. I went to church, a little small testimony over the weekend. I met a girl there, and I know her from my wife, but she started revealing things about demonic spirits and stuff like that. And you can always tell when someone's genuine. This girl's only like, she was 20 years old. She speaks of it so naturally because she says she's been through it since she's like 8 years old. She's like, I'm not scared and stuff like that. But she shared something, a couple profound things about her brother. She said she would call them, they're from Mexico. So she believes like somebody kind of like had some kind of witch stuff going on with her, or that they were like given to like witch doctors when they were little. But she had an outer body experience. And so her brother was very young. The episode stopped happening to him at 14 years old. But they were, since he was little, maybe 7 or 8. That's what they called him, she said. They didn't know what else to call it. But she believed it was like demon possessed. He was like shaking and just very traumatic and violent, and not remembering what he was doing after he woke up or after he snapped out of it. So she had this outer body experience. And during that time, her brother was running to the window of his room, trying to bust the window and to get out. And he couldn't get out. And she kept telling him, that's not the way. That's not the way. But what was so strong upon me, he finally overcame that at 17, maybe 2 years ago. And he declared, I'm a son of God, and, you know, leave me alone, and you don't belong here, and stuff like that. And he hasn't had an episode in like 2 or 3 years. But one thing that she kept, her faith is very strong, this young lady. And in that outer body experience, I felt like she was telling him, like, you know, what you're seeing and what you think, even for us, that might be the way out, is literally not the way out. But you couldn't tell him that because he's seen this is the window. This is, you know what I mean? How are you not telling me this is not the way out? But with all his power and strength, he couldn't get out. It wouldn't crack. You know, it was like a bondage. And until he finally seen that there was another way, and that way is Jesus. Amen. You know, and that's what, it was so powerful when she told me that, because he declared that. And when it don't look like a way, you know, what man thinks seem impossible, even with him, he said, but with God, all things are possible, so we can never count him out. There's always a way. And Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the truth and the life, you know. And he continued to tell us that in his word, like, if we're struggling with things, he said, come to me. Come to me, all those who are weary. You know, if you're tired of this life and tired of your own struggles and worries and fear, come to me. He said, my burden is light. You know, he's like, learn from me. But he definitely wants us to come. And how it comes back to this story, like how that man ran towards him, that's very profound to me. Like, you know, he was demon possessed, but he still went over there and he fell to his knees and ended up, you know, getting a way out. You know, so all of us have that opportunity to have a way out, no matter what kind, no matter what we've been through or come from, or whatever you're holding on to today, there's still a way out daily, you know. And like he said, like with Job, like the miracle is there. Like the miracle is here tonight in your mind, in your heart. He's only a call away, only a call away. And like what Toby said, under the bridge, smoking spice. And you start reaching out to him or talk to him or that scripture, and life just starts transforming. It ain't going to happen in 24 hours, but it started transforming. He took that step. Same thing like with Legion, many demons, you know, living in tombs, cutting himself, reflecting on things day and night, all the bad stuff, you know, like us. A lot of times we tend to worry and fear most of the time of the day about anything, even something as small as a marriage license. I'm like, man, I might get locked up. Start worrying. But I just thought I would share that. Like, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And I got one more scripture to share, then we're out of here. Or I'm up for questions. Yeah.
When you said he broke his chains, I'm assuming he had superhuman strength.
Superhuman strength?
Yeah.
He was strong. I mean, I hear stories like that about you know, different documentaries I watch, how they're pretty powerful, those that have been possessed and stuff, like in Italy and Rome when they were doing exorcisms and stuff like that. I don't know if y'all ever got into that, but they were pretty strong in doing some different unnatural things that humans really can't do, as far as just like the way the demon would work in them, like making them, you know, like bend certain ways and stuff like that. It's I wouldn't doubt it, you know. I wouldn't doubt it. I want to share Isaiah 43. It's a little long, so I'm gonna start now. But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as a ransom for your freedom. I gave Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Others were given in exchange for you. I traded their lives for yours because you are precious to me. You are honored and I love you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will give you and your children from east and west, and I will say to the north and south, bring my sons and daughters back to Israel from the distant corners of the earth. Bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. It was I who created them. Bring out the people who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. Gather the nations together. Assemble the people of the world. Which of their idols has ever foretold such things? Which of their idols have ever foretold such things? Which can predict what will happen tomorrow? Where are the witnesses of such predictions? Who can verify that they spoke the truth? I feel like when he talks about that's the ways of the world, like, you know what I mean? To me, it's like a lot of empty words. There's no true power behind it. But you are my witnesses, O Israel, says the Lord. You are my servant. You have been chosen to know me, believe in me, and I understand that I am alone God. There is no other God. There never has been, and there never will be. I am the Lord, and there is no other Savior. First, I predicted your rescue. Then I saved you and proclaimed it to the world. No foreign God has ever done this. You are my witnesses that I am the only God, says the Lord. From eternity to eternity, I am God. No one can snatch anyone out of my hand. No one can undo what I have done. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sakes, I will send an army against Babylon, forcing the Babylonians to flee in those ships they are so proud of. He also says, the battle is not yours, the battle is mine.
Amen.
I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator and King. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves, and they drowned, their life snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? Thought that was beautiful. And he's talking to all of us. You know, he's already created a path. And he asks us and continues to remind us. And like he reminded little Asher banging at that window trying to get out. He said, I already created a way for you.
Amen.
And he's saying, you don't see it. You know, we're only seeing what we actually hear and see with our own eyes. But God is way beyond that, you know. Mm-hmm. We can't walk by what we see. He says, walk by faith.
Amen.
Not by sight or what you hear or rumors of war and this and that. He said, and he continues to talk to us here. He's like, where's your faith?
Mm.
You know? And I tell my brothers when we work out, I was like, us as humans, like, we tend to always forget all the blessings that God has blessed us with. And it's a reminder, even throughout the Bible, they had the same issues, you know? Who's going to feed us now? And Jesus always said, like, you don't remember, you know, not even a month ago, what I did. And we tend to forget, but I just thought this was very profound, and I want to repeat that. So the reason why I kind of came with this, I took my son to see the Batman movie, and he says the whole, throughout that theme, it said something about change, like a change is going to happen, you know. That kind of stuck with me, so I love what he said here. He said, it is nothing compared to what I'm going to do, for I'm about to do something new. And I believe he's about to do something new in all of our lives, as long as we reach out the hand, you know, and call upon him, knock on the door, and he'll come. He said, for I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? But yeah, that's what I wanted to share for tonight, you know, about that something new. Keep your faith. Keep being around good people. Meditate on your own thoughts, because your own thoughts and stuff will take you somewhere else, and it won't be in the Word of God. You know, when yourself is thinking and talking negative, your faith is here and your fear is here. And what God wants us when we're hearing something like this, that He's creating something new for you, believe in it. And when your faith is here and you're believing that, truly believing it, then your fear is down here. So that's what He wants from us. Keep our faith high. But that's what I want to share. Pam, do you want me to, anybody have any questions about my faith or about this word, or would you guys like to share something that something kind of stuck out to you guys? It's open. Anybody? You can ask me any question about my faith, or if y'all want to share something about what y'all heard.
For me, is at the beginning of it, where it's just a reminder for myself. Like when Jesus went, the guy kind of rejected him because he had all these spirits and whatnot. But towards the end, he came running to Jesus. So at the beginning, I feel like when you go to share with somebody, you may be talking to them and they might have evil spirits and they might be rejecting the message that you've given them. But it's not for us to try to condemn them or shove something down, but just continue to love them and just bring that light and that hope into their life and let them see it. And then they'll turn to Jesus and they'll go to him. You know what I mean? But at the same time, just because someone's not receiving the message at that time doesn't mean that it's not important to share it. You know,
amen.
Sometimes we get in our flesh. Oh, you don't want to hear what I got to say? Well, then, da-da-da-da-da. You know, that's what Jesus is. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a way that you just share out of the love and pray for that brother, pray for that sister, that they'll grow and mature in the faith, you know, and allow God to move. So that's
amen.
What I picked up at the beginning of that. My
man. I just, I think it's cool how Jesus just comes up there, right? And that dude, he recognized authority. that demon recognized who Jesus was, and he was breaking chains. He was uncontrollable. He was living in a tomb. He was looking at and thinking about all the bad in his life. But here comes Jesus. Mm-hmm. Now, he had legions. He had many angels. Mm-hmm. 2,000 and went into 2,000 pigs. But we look at the world sometimes, we think, oh, well, look, the strength of the enemy, the strength of that person or whatever. But Jesus just said, get out of here. Cool as can be. That's who Jesus is. Jesus said, stop, and the water stopped. Yeah. It wasn't a turbulence. He said, be still, and it was still.
Amen.
You know, that's our Jesus.
Amen.
That's the power of our God. And so, to me, that's what stuck out the most, because so many people look at the strength of maybe that demon or even Satan or whatever, and we forget. Like David knew. David knew the strength of his God. He said, I'm going to take your head off. Mm-hmm. My God is going to take you out today.
Mm-hmm.
And the birds are going to eat you up.
Mm-hmm.
And he chopped his head off. And he's walking around, little boy.
Yeah.
So that's the strength of our God.
Amen.
He doesn't have to raise his voice. And he doesn't have to break no chains. All he does is speak the word.
Just speak it. Yep, that's right here. Yep. Anybody else want to share anything? If not, we'll close. All right, let's bow our heads. All right, dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for allowing us to have a privilege to get into your word. This word has been passed down from many years more, Lord, and we're very thankful just to be able to hear that. I pray that we, not only I, but every brother and sister here, that they receive it, that some of these words be written on their hearts, a seed planted, and or maybe even water. But we ask you to give the increase, Lord. Continue to bless everybody the remainder of the night. Help us to come to you, Father, in prayer at any time of the day, any time of the night. Help us not to reflect on bad things or worrying about things or fear, Father, for we know this is not of you, Father. You say you didn't give us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. Help us to keep on remembering who you are, and that with us and with man, things seem impossible, like there's no way out, like that little boy Oscar. But you say with you, all things are possible, as well as what Toby shared, that you're a miracle worker, Father. And one day, tomorrow, things could change for somebody here. Just in the blink of an eye, you have that power, Father. You also say in your word, the king's heart is in your hands.
Yes.
Like the rivers of water, you turn it wherever you wish.
Yes.
You have that much power and influence, Father. And those who of us here that are struggling with things, Father, we ask you once again for your help. Help us and strengthen us, Father, to do things that we will not be able to do on our own, Father. We ask you for this help and your power, and we expect it, Father, from you. We ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.